online, offline, bottom line. Sendoff.net.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Sundog the Podcast, episode 001. This is the show where we talk everything about internet marketing. We take a look at the news, trends, best practices surrounding the worlds of internet marketing, Web 2.0 development, and traditional media. And then we're going to focus on how we can tie all of these things together to help improve your company's bottom line. With us on the show today from our sixth floor in the creative department, we have Eric Ista.
Hello.
Hello there. And we also have Matthew Charpentier.
Hello.
Hello. And our chief strategy officer, Greg Ness, is with us as well.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Good.
What do you think? Show Wonderful. Number one. Here we go.
Wow. All right. Scooby-Doo.
Never thought we'd get this far, but we did.
Well, to two, that's the next question.
That's right. Well, what we're going to focus on today is an area that Greg focuses on quite closely, and that's branding. If you take a look at Wikipedia, they define brand as a name, logo, or slogan for a particular product or service, but it's really more than that.
Oh, I think it's a lot more than that. It's, you know, to me, it's really a placeholder for people in their mind to be able to trust a product or a service and know that they're going to get that product or service every time they interact with that brand. And it's if all brands went away today, they'd be back again tomorrow because people need them. They trust them and they help them make decisions throughout the day. So,
In your mind, what makes a good brand? Anybody?
Dependable.
Yeah, I think it's trust, you know. Yeah, bottom line, it's something you can go back to over and over, and you know you're going to get consistency and quality. And
so it's more of the non-tangible. You know, it's not the logo. It's not the slogan. It's something else.
Yeah. I like the logo.
Logo is very important.
Says the designer.
I've noticed one weird little brand thing that, for me, I like the smell of a store. Target has a good odor to it. Walmart, not so much.
My son loves Fleet Farm.
Yep, because of the Fleet Farm smell?
He hears I go to Fleet Farm and he wants to go. Yep, he loves the smell.
There's a new business opportunity here. Smell marketing.
That's right.
What is your brand odor?
You never know.
Your brand stinks. Oh, no.
Literally.
No. There, we can fix that.
Right. How do you push that through the web? That's all we got to figure out. $1 million will be ours.
It won't be long.
Okay.
All right. So this is something that Matt and I have discussed a number of times, is the whole online users kind of taking control of the brand, and with YouTubes and the social networking and things like that, you know, can you really control your brand anymore? I mean, there's just so much that people can do with who you are and say about you out there. I mean, I don't know. What do you guys think about that? Is that, if companies completely lost control of their brand, or is they still got the reins on it?
Well, I for one think, money still talks, and they have a lot of money to spend, and they're organized, and they have departments to do this kind of stuff. So yeah, there's a lot more issues out there for companies when they consider how they promote their brand, and they've got to be aware of a larger space out there where people are going to be interacting with the messages that they have. But I still think they can control it. They just have to be aware of the larger sphere that they have to control it in, and it's not like the old days where your message went out one way and you really didn't have to worry what came back the other way.
I agree with Greg on that one, how it comes down to the bottom line. But Lon sent us out an interesting link the other day, and that had to do with companies like McDonald's, who had people try to attack on them with Super Size Me and stuff like that, and how that maybe appeared to have an impact on McDonald's, but really in the long run, it didn't really do anything. They're still they never really lost any money on it. Maybe they dropped the word supersize or the phrase supersize, but.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you think about, you know, other big brands like McDonald's that went through that type, same type of thing. You look back to Ford and their Firestone, Bridgestone tire blowout fiasco that they had. They've bounced back from that.
Good pun. Blowout.
Thank you. Merck and Vioxx more recently, they're slowly climbing back. And one of the more recent ones is not only a brand but a person, Martha Stewart.
Yeah.
I mean, this gal went to jail, and she's come back, and she's stronger than ever. She's on Macy's ads. Well, I mean, you can't look at any piece of media, internet, radio, TV. She's everywhere.
Maybe it's just like they say in Hollywood: there's no such thing as bad PR, huh?
That's true.
You know,
that's
I
true.
Mean, you know, most of these brands, even though they have gone through, you know. A crisis, they always seem to bounce back. You know, I think Ford last fiscal year, they had, you know, in spite of all that, they had over $1 billion in profits. You look at companies in the past like Tylenol, they're still number one in painkillers. You look at Exxon and the Exxon Valdez, you know, mm-hmm. incident, and, you know, they're still the number one energy company in this country. So, you know, they've... There's still going to be issues like that, but the smart companies are the ones who also learn to use Web 2.0 tools to control the message going out. They can do their own blogs. They can do their own podcasts. You know, they just have to start using some of these new tools to reach those important audiences. And more of them are doing that. You're seeing it, but it seems to be happening slower than I would have thought, just given the power of these things to help.
Well, with the power you talk about and all the different tools that are out there, does it take longer for a company to bounce back now than it used to a few years ago, you know, before people had all the broadband access they do now?
I don't know that it takes longer. I think they just have to be aware of where all the messages are coming from. I mean, there's and you see that a lot. It always amazes me whenever I comment on a big company in one of my blogs on sundog.net, I'm amazed how many times I get an email back from somebody in that company said, thank you for bringing that subject up, and thank you for your support of our company, or thank you for just discussing it. I'm amazed how many times I get communication. So they're out there looking, apparently, at who's saying what in the blog, in blogs, Web 2.0, and maybe on Facebook, MySpace, other social networks. They're starting to monitor this stuff. So,
well, as far as that bounce back too, I mean, if anything, I would say they can do it quicker. You know, but it's sort of a double-edged sword. I mean, I think you can fall down a lot quicker nowadays too, just because of all the, you know, just instant, message type delivery systems mm-hmm. that are out there, and that, you know, if you do something bad, the world's going to know about it tomorrow or mm-hmm. later that same day, you know,
that's right. That's right.
The news sources and everything, and the word just spreads, you know. Infinitesimally. No, what's the word I'm looking for there?
Exponentially.
Exponentially. Thank you.
Yeah. I liked infinitesimally.
You like that?
Yeah.
I like to make up words, and you'll hear a lot of made up words here.
We'll have to come up with the Sundog podcast glossary.
Yeah, that's right. but anyway, yeah, so you can fall down a lot faster, but I think if you have a good group behind you helping you make those amends, I think you can fix things a lot quicker too.
Okay. I want to make do a quick side note here. You guys, the listeners here may be hearing some, let's call it revelry going on in the background here. Here at Sundog, every Friday afternoon, which happens to be the time we're recording this, we have what's known as our 4 o'clock. It's a little get-together where we kick back and relax and celebrate the accomplishments of the week. So right now we're downstairs here in Sundog Studios, and we're hosting this week. So those noises you hear are our team members having fun in the background there.
Let's really, really, really mess with their minds, and we'll just say that we're doing this podcast live from the 88 Winter Olympics.
I love that.
Okay.
I love that.
Or it could be broadcasting from the future.
Where are we this week?
There you go.
Welcome from 2010.
Very good. Okay, when a company changes its brand or updates their brand, a classic one, no pun intended, is Coca-Cola, a brand that's been around forever, They've augmented it a little bit throughout their history. What challenges does a company like that face when they make the decision to do a brand update or a logo update?
Well, in the case of Coke, you know, they had a lot of updating to do. I mean, people didn't like the product, you know, and that's, of course, at the heart of a brand is you like the product. You know that when you open a can of Coke, you're going to get the same thing you got yesterday. So when they got something different, they didn't like it. But I think a classic case with Coke, and maybe you guys saw some stories about this, but, you know, when this whole Coke and Mentos thing came out with the fountains and I remember Coke, reading all these stories, Coke didn't know what to do about it. You know, they kind of were scared. Oh, my gosh, somebody's got a hold of our brand and they're making people laugh. And, you know, finally somebody at Coke, you know, I think realized, hey, this isn't a bad deal. Our name's being mentioned all over the world. And you know, and then they just went along with it and, you know, had some fun with it. But, you know, you got to be careful in this day and age not to take everything so serious. You know, people are going to have fun and run with some of this stuff. And
I want to go back to the Coke Classic thing for a second, or the new Coke, when that launched. There's been, for some reason, a number of specials on new Coke TV lately about this. And I thought it was interesting. One of the things that I heard is that they didn't decide to go to new Coke until, I mean, they did a lot of research on that first, and to, you know, to ask people, you know, what do you think of this? And I think it came shortly after the whole Pepsi Challenge deal, where, you know, they did the blind taste tests, and with that, people were choosing Pepsi over Coke simply because apparently Pepsi is just a little bit sweeter than Coke, and so on your first taste, people just prefer that slightly more. So they were going to screw with the formula a little bit and try to combat that, I guess. So they did a lot of tests, and everybody it was testing favorably, and so they decided to move ahead with this. But yeah, as soon as it launched, it was like, no, you don't mess with my brand.
No.
Yeah.
No.
And so the same people that apparently were all for it, you know, as soon as it actually came to fruition, it was a horrible, horrible thing. So I just thought, you know, that's very interesting that you know, you get this research from people saying, is it okay to go ahead and do this, and they, you know, deep down inside really didn't want it to. So, you know, such brand loyalty there that you can't even, you know, change the flavor at all.
You know, that brings up a really interesting point. I mean, you go into restaurants, and how many restaurants have both Coke and Pepsi? You know, if you love Diet Pepsi and that is your brand, you don't like it when somebody says, well, I can bring you Diet Coke and Diet Pepsi's your brand. You know, you want your brand. And although most people will probably, you know, say, okay, I think it seems to me more and more I hear people saying, no, well, if you don't have, you know, Diet Pepsi, I'm, you know, give me a
water.
Yeah. You know, it's one of those classic brand distinctions, I think, that where it really comes to the forefront is in a restaurant every time somebody asks you that question.
Mm-hmm. Okay. For years, TV has been one of those primary vehicles when you want to advertise business to customer, trade magazines for business to business, excuse me. And now it seems like everything's heading toward the web. Can the web replace traditional media, or is it just another tool to get the message out there?
I think no way will it replace anything. I mean, definitely, I definitely find myself reading news and stuff more on my computer, but still there's that sitting down and having that tangible magazine, whether you're just going out on the porch or just laying down on the couch and reading a book or something. I don't think anything can replace that. I still get my paper Macworlds and my paper Creativity magazine, and I love, even though Creativity is so awkwardly big and flimsy, and I love that. I love just paging through those giant pages, and they have everything on their website, and I get it all in the email as well, but still I'm much more prefer the tangibleness of of some of those items.
Yeah, I think as far as magazines, I mean, I think they'll hang on. Like for TV, though, what I see happening is more of a merge in technologies where, you know, the TV and everything online are just going to kind of come together. And, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, your television is going to be your computer. And
well, what
I mean,
network just... isn't promoting their shows on their own website?
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. You know, magazines. So another conversation Sharpie and I've had before about do you still get Macworld on can't remember the name of that.
On Zinio?
Zinio. Yeah.
You can actually both the digital and the print.
Yeah, you can view the magazine online and flip through it as you would a magazine. You can zoom in on articles, things like that. It's really interesting, but as you talked, you still prefer to look at the
It's actually nice to have both, cuz I have the digital mm-hmm. Macworld and I have the paper Macworld. And the paper one is nice to sit down, relax, and read. The digital one's nice because I know I can always go back to it. I can archive it on my computer, and if I know there was a link or something I wanted to go to, I go to my digital version, and I can click right to the link from within the magazine.
Between television, radio, or print, which one of those three, in your opinion, will suffer the most in advertising dollar hits because of the web?
You know, I don't know that any of them will suffer unless they are blind to what the changes are out there. I guess a better question might be, what is television? What is radio? And what are trade publications? More and more, the lines are being blurred, as Fish just mentioned. You know, you've got an online version, you've got an offline version. You know, newspapers, I think people think of newspaper as something that you pick up and read, and it is paper. But when I read a newspaper or a Wall Street Journal, most of the time it's online now, and I still call it a newspaper. It's just mm-hmm. you know, so and television. I mean, just look at all the. It isn't. I agree with Fish that their things are merging, but they're also changing so radically at the same time. It's not really a question of merging. It's just how everything will morph into what it's going to be in another few years. And you just see that with all these web television networks popping up now and you know, all the other ones in addition to, you know, YouTube that are it just seems like every week I hear about a new business model that has something to do with video or TV out there. So it's just changing so fast. I think the challenge is for the networks who are used to a slower moving environment. They're finally getting it, that this is happening at a just accelerated rate, and they've got to find a way to keep up.
And to tie that back to our branding topic, that can do nothing but enhance a company's brand even
right.
quicker.
Right, right. It's just there are so many more vehicles available to people nowadays to promote their brand. And they've just got to be aware of how fast some of these are increasing and how to use them. I think they can do a lot to promote their brand.
Super. Well, folks, it looks like we're about out of time. Our 20-minute timer is about at 20 minutes, and that's what we're going to try to keep our shows to. respect the time that you guys have spent with us today. Eric, why don't you talk about a different podcast you're involved with, actually, with Sharpie here, Fish Armel.
It's brilliant. And we talk about pretty much anything that has to do with creativity. It's ficharmel.com, F-I-C-H-A-R.
It'll be in the show notes.
It'll be in the show notes. It's a combination of all of our names. That's what it is.
Yes.
But we talk everything from magazines to movies to furniture to architecture to anything, because creativity is all around us.
Yep.
Cool. And Matt, you were in school at the Savannah College. I can't remember.
Savannah College of Art and Design.
Thank you very much.
You're
still helping them out. There's a very, very cool website out there, folks. You got to check it out. SCADshorts.com. Matt, tell us all about it.
SCADshorts.com is a site that I created with some friends of mine, and we go by the name The Dandy Dwarves. But it is a site that where we create a short film every month, and everybody that works on it has went to SCAD, which is why it's called SCAD Shorts. And we come up with a new short every month, and you make up with the title of the short. So you go to the site, come up with a title. It has to start with the letters S, C, A, and D. For example, Sea Captain Avoids Disaster. something like that. Mm-hmm. Go, guess, or pick the name of the title, and you could win an iPod if we like it.
I did guess, and I did not win.
They didn't like it.
No, they didn't like it. It was bad. They didn't like it. They didn't like it at all. GL, any parting thoughts from you today?
Well, I just think, a lot of advertisers out there see so many challenges with all these changes, and I see nothing but opportunity. I just think they have to really find ways to capitalize on these new opportunities, and if they do, it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful brand world.
All right. Eric, Giel, Matt, thanks for joining us today. Yep. If you got any questions, please send them to thepodcast@sundog.net. You can also give us a call if you have any questions at 1-888-9-SUNDOG. And if you have any information you find on the web that you think might be of interest to us and you want to have us included on the podcast, we have a delicious tag set up as well called Sundog the Podcast, all one word. Until next time, this is Lon Keller. We'll see you later.
My ears are sweaty.
Yes.
Yeah, no kidding.